This is the Fleming Foundation Summer Symposium 2021, Living Well in a Dying Age, with a lecture by Dr. James Patrick entitled Cassiodorus at Vivarium.
The paper's topic is Cassiodorus, the idea of a Christian literature. And it has a superscript, which is from Henry Osborne Taylor's Medieval Mind. The Medieval Mind was an early intellectual history, the Middle Ages. Taylor said, Cassiodorus was the first influential man to recognize the fitness of the cloister for the labors of the pious student and copyist. It is not too much to regard him as the inaugurator of the learned compiling, commenting, and transcribing function of monasticism. But of course, one might also say that Benedict is about the same time. But that's one of his importances. I think he's a fascinating person, too. You all will know by now that this is a period that's full of these larger-than-life characters, like Cassiodorus and Boethius and Theodoric and Belisarius. So it's a pleasure to talk to you about Cassiodorus and his interest in Christian literature. Flavius Magnus Aurelius Cassiodorus Dorus was, like Boethius, a well-educated Christian nobleman born about 485, just as the storm of successful Gothic invasion settled upon Italy. Cassiodorus spent his early years in the service of Theodoric and his successors at Ravenna. Now, Ravenna, those of you who still find it easy to fly the ocean in a silver plane, if you haven't been to Ravenna, you should go to Ravenna. Because although it's not as dense as Rome is, it has an importance of its own and a beauty of its own, and testifies in all of its stones of its importance as the imperial capital of the Exarch. Relations between Goths and Romans were sporadically peaceable, but the two races lived parallel lives, with the Goths staffing the army and conducting a successful foreign policy, and the Romans occupying the traditional political posts such as quaestor and consul. That Cassiodorus had a genuine sympathy for his Gothic master is evident in his letters, published as the Variae, two editions of that are easy to get, which is itself a unique record of the reign of Theodoric and his successors for the years 540 to 553. Which provided a model for official communications of sovereigns into the 16th century, and which attests Cassiodorus' faithful service to the Gothic king. It was characteristic that Cassiodorus would give the Goths a history now lost, which Jordanus, a Roman bureaucrat, would later make the basis of his history of the Germanic kingdoms. Cassiodorus' life was changed dramatically by the decision of Boethius in 535 to reassert Roman authority in his lost western provinces, where his authority had really just kind of drifted away, which resulted in the dispatch of the great general Belisarius to reconquer Africa from the Vandals in 534, that having been successfully accomplished, recover Italy in a campaign beginning in 535. When Belisarius took Ravenna in 540, Cassiodorus was there in the Exarch's capital, and willingly or unwillingly, he returned with Belisarius to Constantinople, suspect for his Gothic sympathies. Of course, it's obvious to you all that these people like Cassiodorus and Boethius were walking a very narrow line because they were in the service of the Gothic king, which was in itself dangerous. It took Boethius' life because it was so difficult to serve two masters. And officialdom in Constantinople would always have been suspicious of you if you were too sympathetic to the Gothic powers as they were in Italy. Prior to his return to Constantinople, perhaps about 530, Cassiodorus had undertaken a project for the establishing of a Christian school in Rome, in partnership with Agapitus, a Roman priest of distinguished clerical family. Agapitus was the son of the priest Gordianus, who had been martyred under the Laurentian persecution about 502. Well, now somebody will say...